Today on Real Life Radio.
If the glory of God fills your temple, nobody, nothing of this world can get in there. So we do this stuff. We're looking at this, we're looking at that, and what are we doing? We're in this massive clash. You have been bought with a price. You're brand new. You're a new creation of Christ. So why do we gravitate back to the things of the world? Well, everybody's doing it. That's not the answer.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, this is Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get our brand new book, Living in the Days of Deception. This book is specifically written to help you and I navigate these very deceptive times. Here's a special offer. Yes, it is available wherever books are sold. However, right here at jackhibbs.com, if you order it here with us, you will get and only get right here 4 video teachings where I address certain aspects of the book with you personally. And so we look forward to you getting your own copy, Living in the Days of Deception, right here at jackhibbs.com, and you can get the 4 exclusive bonus teachings as well.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. Once again, jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, a physical temple cannot save us or change us permanently in any way. It can make us feel good with its beauty and its decor, but truth is, it's not going to last. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that as a child loves to be hugged and feel secure, the believer loves to be owned by God. As the temple that he dwells in, he is our protector and will come against anything that tries to destroy us. Now with his message called Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Be careful. The Holy Spirit will not allow the temple of the living God, who you are, to intermingle with satanic issues. He won't do it. Oh man, let's play Ouija board. Dude, let me tell you, come with me for a week and visit people who, when we talk with them about their demonism and all the stuff that's going on in their satanic home, weird, freaky stuff going on, baby's crib. It's like a movie. Spielberg should come to work with me. You see a baby's crib bouncing on the floor, bouncing with no baby in it. Bum, 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 bum. Hello. You don't mess as a Christian with seances and Ouija boards and that demonic stuff. God says, no, I will not have my people mix in that world. Why? Because he will not allow the temple that he dwells in to be with, as the Bible says, Belial, which is a word for Satan. I won't share you, he says, with somebody. Isn't that beautiful? That's the true definition, by the way, of the word from God, jealous. Don't think of human jealousy. That's nuts. God is jealous for you. He won't share you with some other god or gods that are invented by men. He loves you so dramatically, so radically, that when we leave this place in a moment, we are to understand, wow, look at me. I mean, I look like a normal guy. I look normal. Here I go. Normal. I look normal. Nobody knows, though. Inside, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. I'm a child of the living God. And here I go. I'm going into Mimi's. I'm coming in. Does it sound like I'm hungry? I keep bringing up food. I'm starving, man. Sit down there. And they have no idea that sitting in that booth is a child of God, born again, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. That's why, you guys, pornography has no place in our lives. It's stupid. Don't go there. Or whatever it might be. Anything that brings you under the control of it is robbing the temple from God. Isn't it great? The scripture says that we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with our bodies. Isn't that cool? He owns you. And people go, I don't like that. I'm my own man. Oh, you think you are. Are you married? Yes, I'm my own man. Then you are. You're not your own man. And then you go, oh, well, I'm my own man. I'm single. Dude, you are not owning yourself because the world snaps its fingers and you're instantly in a turmoil. But let me tell you something right now, single or married, when you understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and he owns you, you don't have the right to tell him no. You don't have the right to ignore him. You and I, we're slaves to Christ, and it's the best thing that could ever happen. Jesus will lead and guide your life. I am so not going to make it through this message today. But we need to hear this. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I can let you in on a secret if you don't already know it about yourself and me. We love to be owned. So let me explain. There's nothing greater than for a child to have their parent come up and put their arm around them and just pull them in tight. Or Little Miss America or Mr. America, when he's 3 years old, to run up in between his dad's legs and stand there and hang on to those pillars of his legs and peek out at the world. He knows he's so safe when he's doing that. And what is it? Ladies, I'll confess for us men. Normally you would think a woman feels really good and secure when the man puts his arm around her and gives her a gentle squeeze and lets her know it's okay. Anybody get near you, I'm going to knock him out. Well, let me tell you, when you allow us to do that, or when you come up and you say, honey, just squeeze me right now. You know what? A man knows, you know what? I'm owned. It's human nature. Our ridiculous culture has thought, well, that's somehow weak. Let me tell you, every one of us want to be loved. And we want to be loved securely, without condition. Don't tell me. Don't even talk to me if you disagree with me on this. You're going to be wrong. You want to be loved. And then God comes along and says, listen, I'd love to give you a hug, and I've been kind of doing that all your life. Remember when you had this happen and you really even didn't know me, but I said this to you and I encouraged you, or I showed you this or that, or I explained that to you and you didn't know where that came from, or I got you out of that thing. Remember that? You didn't even know it was me giving you a hug. But he said, giving you a hug's not enough. God says, I want to be in your house, your body. I want to dwell. And if that's true, church, there is going to be such a dramatic, radical boldness and beauty about us as believers. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being loud. I'm talking about just walking in confidence and knowing my God loves me, and I've read my Bible, that love letter to me, and he says no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And the Bible says, you know what? God says, I own you. I bought you with the price of my own blood, and that is an announcement. I don't need to let anyone abuse me. Young lady, listen, if somebody's trying to put it on you, you tell them, back off. I belong to God. Put yourself away and get out of my face. If God loves me, then I respect myself. Get out of here. You belong to God. Stand up. Be strong. Be firm. Because your God loves you. He's amazing. And he desires this house for himself. Every building exists for a purpose. At least it should. The next thing I want you to see is that he's a protector of his house. Look at verse 17. He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And I need to define what that means. First of all, the temple of God. Listen. The temple in the Old Testament was a meeting place. It had elements of it. The tabernacle in the wilderness after leaving Egypt was before the temple. The tabernacle preceded the temple. It was a meeting place. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New that what was of the old regarding the priesthood, the kings, the offerings, the blood, the Ark of the Covenant, all of that stuff was just a foreshadow of that which was to come. It was to accommodate our weakness. What do you mean? I hope this comes across right. Do you remember, were you here a couple Sundays ago when I was here last? Because that was Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and because there was an intentional drama to it, what did I do that I've never done before, nor did I ever think I would ever do? Because of the Black Robe Regiment of the Revolutionary period who preached the sermons that brought about the revolution of the United States of America and our founding, I put on a black robe for illustration. And no one said, you're not going to do that again, are you? You trust me enough to not ever do that again. But you know what? There's some people who that's how they were brought up, where the pastor wears the robe. Oh, pastor, that reminded me so much of the other church I used to go to. That's kind of cool. Are you ever going to do that again? No. So I'm not knocking robes. Here's the thing. If there are external things in our lives, this is what God is saying, even if it's a temple, even if you think, listen, that you're in danger out there, but the moment you cross the threshold of the property or come into the building, now I'm safe. Why? I'm in the church. Then you've missed it. Oh, we can't talk to God unless we go to the... No, listen. Even in the Old Testament, I can't talk to God unless... What? Do you remember David, whose troops, they were walking through the fields and they began to take the wheat on the Sabbath and they began to eat? And God was fine with it. It was the priest who ran out there and got all bent out of shape. And the same thing happened with Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus, it's awesome. Remember what he said? It still freaks people out today. He says, the man wasn't made for the law, for the Sabbath. All the legalistic people go, No, Jesus says, no, man was not created for the law and for the Sabbath. The law and the Sabbath, that was created for man. It was to bless him. It was to speak to him. It was to point him to God. And so when you walk into a building and it's all ornate or whatever, you guys, I have been to the Kremlin. I've been to Buckingham Palace. I've walked through the White House. I have been, I've been there. I mean, you name it. I think I've seen the crown jewels. I've been to the blue room, the green room. I've been there. You don't walk in there and go, oh my goodness, I think I'm the Queen of England. You don't think that. You don't walk into the White House and say, oh my gosh, I think I'm the president. You're crazy if you think that. You don't walk into a church, no matter how ornate. I've been in the Vatican. You don't walk into the Vatican and say, oh my gosh, I think I'm the Pope. I think I'm the Pope. You don't do that. Why? When you see things and you get so impressed with the monuments, the icons, the statues, the building, the thing... It is the religiosity of man embracing things that are temporal and they'll crumble away. And God says, get it out of the way, move it, clear it out, because I'm coming in.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I got to end with this because we're out of time. Do you remember when Solomon's temple was built? And it's really cute. You got to read Chronicles and it's super, man. It's great. They're all getting ready. They got the priesthood ready. They got all their gowns on. They're all ready to go. They got all the stuff. They got all the silver where the silver's supposed to be. They got all the gold where the gold's supposed to be. Priests have got their little turban bonnet things on. They're all ready to go. No doubt, you know, there's a big deal. You know, that there's got to be coordinators. They're all checking. Are you right? Okay, they're, you know, like getting ready. Move that. Stand up straight. Okay, and they're all doing it. They're all getting ready. And they're getting ready to dedicate the temple to God. Guess what happens? You know what happens, right? Totally outside protocol. Nobody had this on their clipboard. The Holy Spirit descended and filled the temple. And light came out of the temple, so brilliant and so bright, before anybody got in it. When the priest tried to go into the temple, the power of God wouldn't let him in. Can you imagine? Oh, man. What in the world? Try it again. Go. We got to get this show on the road. Come on. The sundial says 12 noon. Let's do it. And they go in again. The glory of God, it says, had filled the temple and nobody could enter in. If the glory of God fills your temple, nobody, nothing of this world can get in there. So we do this stuff. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. And what are we doing? We're in this massive clash. You have been bought with a price. You're brand new. You're a new creation of Christ. So why do we gravitate back to the things of the world? Well, everybody's doing it. That's not the answer. And that's why now, if you try to do something that you ought not to be doing, and the Holy Spirit says, I don't want this to happen, and you try to do it, think of that. The light of the Spirit's pushing it back. It's pushing it back. And God help the man or woman who can get into the darkness of this world, and there's no resistance. The Holy Spirit doesn't live there. If you can leave this place today and sin up a storm with no conscience about it, it's because the Holy Spirit does not know you. He's not in you. He doesn't have you. And I don't know about you, but that should make you sick to your stomach and terrify you. Because just like in this life, you want to be owned by someone who loves you. Then why not allow yourself to be owned by the one who ultimately gave his life because he loved you? Father, we just ask of you now, Lord God, that as we leave today, we are to be that salt and light to the world. We're to live our lives so that it matters. And Lord, we are either going to fear people, which is a trap, or we're going to fear you, which is awe and reverence. One's hideous and one is holy. One is sacred and one is to sequester and quench. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your Son died on the cross for our sins, laid in the tomb, dead, but on the third day came out of the ground. Everything that a person in this world would want, even in a remote part of the jungle, if a child dies, the parent, no doubt, weeping, wondering, is there any way to bring this baby back? Any way to have my loved one back? And Lord, you broke open that tomb. You rose from the grave. And the Bible says, your word tells us that not only is that true, but for us to get to heaven, that same power that raised Jesus has to reside within us. And there's going to come a day, just like when we go down the market. I mean, not just like, but just like we go down the market maybe and put stuff in our cart. We select, we pick. There's going to come a day when you come with your cart and you're going to get us. And to think that we could be passed by and be left on the shelf for hell because of our rejection of you, us pushing you off, Lord, is unthinkable. And Father, I pray right now that as their heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that if there's a person in here today that understands I have sinned and I've upset God, and if I could look at God face to face right now, my chin would have to hit my chest. I could not look at him. I would be so embarrassed of what he knows about me and the words that he has seen me type or say. the things that I have viewed with my eyes that he's given me, things that no one should see, I would be so ashamed. My friend, if that's you this morning, we're not here to condemn you. That's not our job. We could never do that. No, man, we don't have the power to do that, nor would we ever want to do that. Only God has that power, and you're the one that actually hands it to him. Don't do that. Don't be condemned. Ask him to forgive you of your sins right now and say, Lord, I want you to live in me. I want to know what it's like to be radicalized for Jesus. I want to know what it's like to be forgiven and to be empowered and to leave this building today a new person, illuminated, and have a changed life. My friends, if heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians be praying. Nobody needs to see this but me. And it's not even just me. Everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if you confess Christ publicly, you shall be saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed as I look across this sanctuary. Will you today, before God and his holy angels as witness, will you today accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior publicly? Maybe you've never done it publicly before, and it's a secret. There are no secret Christians. But today's your day. Will you put your hand up high right now, right where you're at? God bless you, sir, on the aisle. Anyone else? In the back, God bless you. Over here to my left, God bless you. Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Up front, God bless you, young man. On the aisle, God bless you. Anyone else? Over here, far to my right, God bless you. Awesome. You can put your, and the little hand in the back, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Those of you who raised your hands, will you pray this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my life, to save me from my sins, and to write my name in your book of life, to come now and live in me. I'm asking you now to take full possession of who I am. Live your life through me, God. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with a message called Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Pastor Jack, you recently did a very special prayer in Congress, and you kind of caught some heat for that, didn't you? In light of that, would you mind praying for us right now?
Yeah, thank you. I would love to do that. And friends, listen, quite an honor I've had recently, and that is this. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, asked if I would come to Congress and open up Congress in prayer. And so I did that very thing, and I had that honor to do what had been going on regarding our nation for some 250 years. And so I prayed, and I prayed specifically. In fact, I kind of bent the rules a little bit. I was not supposed to pray some certain way, and I just had to do what God was telling me to do. But why would I do that? Why would you pray for our country? Why should we pray? Number one, we are commanded to pray for those who are in leadership over us. The second thing is that you and I are commanded in Scripture. For example, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, that we are to pray and to seek the welfare of the city in which we live, that we might live at peace and harmony. That's the will of God. It's God's will that the United States be governed with those who fear God. That is the will of the Lord. We often forget that. So friend, listen, not only should we pray for our government, we have to keep praying for our government. Our nation is in deep trouble,
And only the people of God, I believe, can turn this country around if we turn our hearts toward God. So pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd cause all of the believers in this nation to turn to you in humble adoration and humble petition, that God, you would intervene in our country, and that the leaders who are leading against your will would be brought to submission in you. And Lord, that those that are leading according to your word would find encouragement, that we might once again be a nation that is truly worthy to say that we are one nation under God. We're not, but we need to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.